Hi, welcome to Lighthouse Vineyard Church. Thank you for joining us. If you would like to know more about us, feel free to visit us online at lighthousevineyard.church. Enjoy the message.
Hello, everyone, again. My name is Clint Schwartz. I'm the lead pastor. Thanks for being here today. Thanks for sharing Father's Day with us. It's really good to see all you men. Good to have you here at church today. Hey, just real quick on the block party this Friday night, you can bring your kids to enjoy it as well. So we would love to have all of your kids, your neighbor kids, your grandkids, some random kid walking down the street. Just bring them. We'd love to have, you know, hundreds of kids here. So feel free to come. Even if you didn't sign up to register or you didn't register to volunteer, you can come and bring your kids. All right, so a little story to start off our message today. I grew up Mennonite. How many of you knew that? I may have mentioned that a time or two here at the church. Our youth group was called MYF. It was pretty sophisticated. It stood for Mennonite Youth Fellowship. That's what it stood for, MYF. And our MYF group would go on an annual, I think it was Labor Day, we'd go on a Labor Day trip. Because in Michigan, they didn't start school until after Labor Day. But we would go on this annual service trip and take a four-day, five-day weekend, something like that. And we would go to some other Mennonite church around the nation within driving distance. And we would do service projects for them and then put on a Sunday program and stuff like that. And on one of those trips, and this is how long ago it was, we went to Canada. All right, and none of us had passports or IDs or anything. They just took a bus across the border, and we went to Canada around Toronto, somewhere like that. There was a camp up there, a Mennonite camp, and there was a local Mennonite youth group that joined us, and we did work projects at this camp. But at some point, like on the second, third night, someone decided that it was a good idea to do Capture the Flag, Americans against Canadians. That's some team building, don't you think? You know, some camaraderie kind of thing. And so I remember distinctly, I was running around in the dark, you know, running away from those Canadians. And I got to this one point where we were close to the flag. And they yelled across. They saw me. And so they're kind of around protecting the flag. And they yelled out, "Are you one of us?" You know, that Canadian accent may not be very good, but it was something like that. And I yelled back, "Why, yes, yes, I'm one of you." And they bought it. That was the thing. They bought it. And they let me through, and I captured the flag. So we won. It might sound a little Australian, maybe not quite Canadian for our Canadian friends here. It's the best I had. So, but we snuck by, and we actually captured their flag. Now, the Canadians lost because they didn't know who their people were, right? They didn't know who their people were. In life, it's important to know who your people are. It is. It's important to know who your people are. So here's a question. Who are your people? And I'm not speaking towards whether you're American or Canadian. I'm not talking about that. I'm not even talking about people that look like you or sound like you or act like you. No, today, it's a spiritual question. Who are the people that God has called you to? Who are your people? The people that God has called you to minister to protect, to love on. Who specifically are the people that God has called you to rescue? Because I believe that every one of us has a mission in this life. And part of that mission is to reach and impact a very specific group of people. Now, when I lived in Michigan, my people were the people of Michigan. And I felt called to do ministry to middle schoolers. And this was when I was in my 20s. And so I started a middle school youth group at the church I was attending. And then I graduated from college, moved to Indiana, And my calling changed. And I had a heart for high schoolers. And I took over and led a high school youth ministry at a church I was at. And then later on, God called Rose and I very specifically to young adults. And so we led and ministered to a group of young adults for 5 years at a former church. But then God started to move in our hearts, and he started planting within us this desire, this calling to the people of Elkhart and Elkhart County. And that actually began 5 years before we started Lighthouse. But 5 years ago, God told us it was time, and we launched this church here in Elkhart. And I would just say that, you know, part of my personal calling is to the people of Elkhart in Elkhart County. So how about you? Who are your people? Who are the people that you are called to reach? Anthony and Lauren Troyer, I think I have a photo of them and their children. They attend church here with us. And when they first got married, they felt that their calling was to international missions. And so Lauren went to school and became a nurse, because that's a good thing to have, a nursing degree if you're going to do international missions. And Anthony became a teacher majoring in Spanish. So if you know Spanish, you see Anthony, just go up and start talking to him, just like I do every time. In Espanol. But as part of their missionary training, they decided that we should foster kids and get kind of a heart for the least of these in our area. And they decided to do that for a year just to prepare them for international missions. And as they did that, 1 year turned into two, turned into three, turned into 5 years. And they realized that their calling was for foster children and foster and adoptive parents. That was their calling. And so Anthony changed his vocation. He became a therapist so that he could help foster kids and their parents. And today, Anthony works part-time for Village to Village International, which is an organization that equips caregivers with tools to lead foster children to hope and healing. And together, Anthony and Lauren volunteer as parent trainers for foster and adoptive families. And over the last few years, they have personally trained over 400 teachers, social workers, therapists, and church leaders on how to care for foster children. Lauren and Anthony found that their people group was right here in their own community, foster children, and they are making a difference today. Well, how about you? Who are the people that God has called you to? Reality is, we all have a calling, and that's to impact people. And I believe that God has wired us to impact certain groups of people. And if we are going to fulfill that calling in our life, we first have to identify who those people are, and then we have to act on it. So hold that thought. We're in a message series titled Fully Committed, and we're studying different Bible characters throughout Scripture, and that were fully committed to their God, they were fully committed to their people, fully committed to a cause. And through this summer, we're going to study different Bible characters and hope that that fully committedness rubs out on us. Our word for this year is commit as a church. We're wanting to be all in, to commit to what God has for us. And last week, we studied about the life of Paul, because Paul was fully committed to sharing the gospel. And if you missed that message, you can go back and listen to it or watch it online. But today we're going to be studying the life of Moses. Life of Moses. Moses found that his people group were the enslaved children of Israel, and he became fully committed to rescuing them. So my hope is that as we study his life today, that it will rub off on us just a little bit. You can turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 7. We're going to be in Acts chapter 7, starting with verse 17. Last week, we talked about the first martyr In the New Testament, and after Jesus was crucified, and that was the disciple Stephen. Well, Stephen was stoned to death, but he was arrested, and he gave a long speech of the history of Israel. And so I thought that we would read part of his speech as it relates to Moses, because he does a good job of summarizing it. So we're going to read 17 through 36. As the time drew near for God to fulfill his promise to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt had greatly increased. Then a new king, to whom Joseph meant nothing, came to power in Egypt. He dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our ancestors by forcing them to throw out their newborn babies so that they would die. At that time, Moses was born, and he was no ordinary child. For 3 months, he was cared for by his family. When he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own son. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. When Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his own people, the Israelites. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian, so he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. The next day, Moses came upon two Israelites who were fighting. He tried to reconcile them by saying, "Men, you are brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other?" But the man who was mistreating the other pushed Moses aside and said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" When Moses heard this, he fled to Midian, where he settled as a foreigner and had two sons. So after 40 years had passed, so Moses is now 80 years old, an angel appeared to Moses in the flames of a burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. When he saw this, he was amazed at the sight. As he went over to get a closer look, he heard the Lord say, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Moses trembled with fear and did not dare to look. Then the Lord said to him, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. I have indeed seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to set them free. Now come, I will send you back to Egypt." This is the same Moses they had rejected with the words, "Who made you ruler and judge?" He was sent to be their ruler and deliverer by God himself, through the angel who appeared to him in a bush. He led them out of Egypt and performed wonders and signs in Egypt, at the Red Sea, and for 40 years in the wilderness. So Moses rescued his people, the enslaved children of Israel. So our message title is "Fully Committed to Helping My People." And today we're going to take a look at ways we can identify who our people are and maybe take some steps towards helping them. But first, let me pray. Father, I thank you that as followers of you, as your children, that every one of us has a mission in this life. It doesn't matter what we've done or what's been done to us. You have a calling. You have a plan. And we have work to do. So Lord, I pray that today you would help us to identify what that calling may be. And Lord, give us the courage and selflessness to act on it. Give me your words to speak in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so you can fill this in on your handout if you would like. Like Moses, we can be fully committed to helping our people by listening to our heart's cry. Listening to our heart's cry. In Exodus, the same story of Moses, it says, one day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. And looking this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Now let's talk about Moses. Moses had it pretty good. He was the adopted grandson of Pharaoh. He was majesty. They've done movies about him called The Prince of Egypt, right? Pretty famous guy. He lived a life of luxury. And he could have lived pretty nicely as the Prince of Egypt his whole life, but he just couldn't do it. He knew that the Egyptians weren't his people. They raised him, they taught him, they cared for him, but they weren't his people. So Moses left the luxury of the king's palace, and he went out to where the slaves were among his people. And when he saw one being beaten, he couldn't help but help. He had to intervene. It was his heart's cry. So who are your people? Who are the ones that you can't help but help? When they are in trouble, it breaks your heart. When I went on staff at the church in Mishawaka, one of my assignments was to start a missions ministry. We didn't have one at the church. And so through some contacts, I went on my first trip to South Sudan in 2008. And here's a photo of me with these orphan children. There are 38 of them at the Dreamland at that time. And I spent the whole week looking at different areas that we could do ministry. I looked at a chicken farm, I looked at a church and another church, and these different ministries that we could do, that we could connect with as a church. But in the afternoon of my last day there, I went to the orphanage here, and I spent time with these kids, and I know you can't really see it from there, but their clothes were torn. The orphanage had just started. These kids had been in the orphanage for maybe a month or two, and you could just see in their eyes this hopelessness that they'd had, because many of them had been tossed around from family to family, or they had seen their parents killed before them or watched their parents die from disease. And they were shattered emotionally, spiritually, relationally. And so I spent just a few hours with them in the afternoon. And left from there, and I slept overnight, got on the plane the next morning, and it was a little two-seater plane, or not two-seater, two-pilot, but it had about eight seats in it, and it took off, and they started the engine that took off from this dirt runway. And I remember as it got really loud in there, and there was nobody sitting beside me, and I just began to weep. I just began to weep for these kids and the brokenness that they were living in, the conditions they were living in. And I decided in that moment, on that little flight from Yei, South Sudan, to Entebbe, Uganda, I said, I don't know what this means, but I'm gonna do whatever I can to help these kids. It was in that moment that they became my people, my calling. And since then, it's been 15 years, I've been over there several times. It's part of our church and the previous church. We've raised hundreds of thousands of dollars and are keeping them in school. And I'm taking a team, actually in August, we're going back to love on and care for these people. Who are your people? Who breaks your heart? When my daughter Anna was in seventh or eighth grade, she heard a speaker come in, a missionary, really, from Destiny Rescue. It's an organization that rescues children caught up in the sex trade, enslaved all around the world. And when she saw that, and when she heard about that, she couldn't help but help. And what could a seventh grade, you know, eighth grader do that would make an impact to these girls around the world? Well, she decided to learn how to sew and make blue jean bags. That's what you see there hanging up. And so she asked Rose, my wife, she said, "Can you teach me how to sew?" And so she started sewing little squares of blue jeans, you know, that she would cut up into these bags. And she made dozens and dozens of these bags and gave them back to Destiny Rescue to sell. They called them, her and another young lady named Hannah worked together on it. They call them Hannah's Freedom Bags. That's what they call them. And as a result of not only selling these bags, that was at a conference, but also in bringing them in and having them speak at different things, they raised thousands of dollars that has helped I don't know how many girls, but rescued half a dozen or more girls from the sex trade all around the world. So who breaks your heart? Who breaks your heart? Maybe it's the forgotten elderly that are tucked away and abandoned in nursing homes. Maybe it's the unwanted unborn. Maybe it's the children who live locally in poverty. Maybe it's students who are growing up in this culture without Jesus, or young adults who are struggling with adulting. Maybe it's young marrieds who are finding it a lot more difficult than what they thought it would be to be married, or young parents who really don't have a clue. Maybe it's those who are far from God, those who are going through a divorce, or maybe it's for single parents. Who's your heart called to? Maybe it's new believers, those who have been hurt by the church. Maybe it's the immigrants who are struggling to find their way in our community. Or maybe it is the poor in other countries. But there are billions of people on our planet who need an advocate. Billions of people on our planet who need an advocate, who need help, who need rescuing. Well, I believe that God has put on each of us, on our hearts, someone that he's calling us to. So listen. That's your first step. Listen to your heart's cry. What breaks your heart? Second point is we can be fully committed to helping our people by recognizing our unique shape. Recognizing our unique shape. Pastor Rick Warren from Saddleback Church in California wrote the book Purpose-Driven Life. Hopefully, how many of you have read that book? Yeah, quite a few. It's a fantastic book, number one best-selling paper book of all time behind the Bible. So if you haven't read it, you probably should. We do have some for sale at the welcome desk after service. But in this book, he devoted a chapter to discovering our spiritual shape. Our spiritual shape. Our shape is made up of our spiritual gifts, our heart, our abilities, our passion, and our experiences. We all have a unique shape that God is forming in our souls for a specific mission in this life. Every one of us. So when we study how God has wired us, what our gifts are, our passions, our abilities, our personality traits, and especially our experiences, we can take a look at that and most likely match that to a calling that God has for us because he is preparing us for our mission. Let's look at Moses as an example. Moses was uniquely designed to lead the children of Israel out of being slaves in Egypt. First of all, he was born an Israelite. All right, so the Israelites were his people. He wasn't a foreigner to them. They were his people. He was one of them. And he had a heart for them. God put within him a heart for his people. Now, he was raised as an Egyptian prince. So he knew the Pharaoh. He knew the customs of the Pharaoh. He was related to the Pharaoh. He spoke their language. He was educated and could read and write. Moses was uniquely qualified to work with the Pharaoh to get the people of Israel released from under his thumb. He also had spent 40 years in the wilderness living as a shepherd. Now, you wouldn't think that that would be important, but it was really, really important when he ended up leading the children of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. Moses was uniquely designed to rescue his people. His shape helped determine his calling. Now, I personally love those that are in need, those that are in need financially, and those that come from other countries. Now, part of the reason for that was because of my experiences in this life. When I was in second or third grade, I was attending Centerville Public Schools up in Michigan, attending a Mennonite church, And both of those situations were both extremely white, and there were no foreigners whatsoever anywhere around. But in the third grade, our church sponsored a refugee family from the country of Laos who were living in a refugee camp in Thailand. They sponsored to bring them over to start a new life here in the United States. And that family of six kids, about my age, ended up living right next door to me out in the country. And when you live in the country, you don't, I mean, you're friends with whoever's right next door to you because there aren't a lot of choices. And so I got to know this family. I got to spend time in their house, became very accustomed to not understanding someone's language, right? Hearing them talk about me, and then you hear Clint, and then they keep talking, and you don't know what they said. I'm used to that. Or eating foods that aren't American. I learned all of that. And I believe that God was planting in me at a young age a heart for those who were poor. They didn't have anything when they came over to the United States. And those who are from other countries. And as a result, God has used me to travel on over 20 mission trips and lead teams to go all around the world. God used those experiences in my life. Our shape will let us know a little bit about our calling. And when we go through tough situations in life, we experience difficult things. It's in those situations that God utilizes that to help others as well. Our greatest trials can become our greatest asset when doing ministry. Since I've been through a divorce, I can relate to those of us who have been through a divorce. Since my wife's first husband was killed in a car accident, Rose can relate to people who are experiencing grief, who have lost a loved one. Our difficult experiences can help us to find our calling. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." Our difficulties can prepare us for our calling. So we need to embrace them, learn from them, and look for others who are going through similar things. So our shape, it's important to know our shape. If you would like to learn more about that, Pastor Matt is leading a class called Discovering Our Spiritual Shape on July 11th and 18th. That's on Tuesday nights, and you can sign up for that at the Welcome Center. It will help you to understand how God has equipped you and wired you for your calling. And then lastly, my last point, we can be fully committed to helping our people by accepting our assignment. Accepting our assignment. Exodus 3, verses 9 and 10 says, this is God speaking to Moses. And he says, "And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." So God was giving Moses the assignment, go rescue your people because they are my people too. Go do it. Moses was uniquely qualified. We see that. There was no one like him in all of that land. And he even gave Moses some gifts. He gave him a staff that would turn into a snake to kind of prove that God was with him. And yet, in the midst of all of that, if you read the rest of that story, Moses still questioned God. It's like, "Are you sure? I don't think that I'm the one you want. I don't think that I'm qualified to make a difference. They won't even listen to me." He argued with God, but eventually he gave in and he led the people out of Israel in the most magnificent way. Led the people of Israel out of Egypt. So what about you? Do you have an assignment from God that you know of already, but you're struggling with accepting it? Now, there are some assignments that we just need to accept, especially when it comes to our family. If you're married, your spouse is your assignment, okay? So husbands, love your wives like you love your own body and are willing to die for them. So that's an assignment you cannot reject. And wives, it says, love and respect your wives. I'm sorry, love and respect your husbands. It's an assignment that wives have towards their husbands. We can't reject that. And if we're parents, right? If we're parents, we need to love our children. Even when they're not lovable, we need to love our children. I'm going to speak to fathers for just a moment. Hey guys, if you're a dad today, man, that assignment never ends. When they're little, they need you. When they're teenagers, they need you more. And when they're young adults, they need you even more. So guys, engage with your kids, no matter what age they are. Engage with them. And moms, of course, be there for your kids. You know, they always say there's nothing like the mother's love. Be that kind of mom, or they say that. And if your parents are still alive, whether you're young or old, you have an assignment. What's the scripture say? It says, honor your parents. Honor your parents. So we need to do that. That's part of our assignment. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So our families, our immediate families, are part of our assignment, and we need to accept that. First and foremost, they are part of our mission on this planet, is to love and care for our families. But beyond that, there is a people group that each of us is called to impact, and we need to accept that assignment. And if you don't know who that people group is, then that's your assignment, is to find out who that people group is. Like Lauren and Anthony, they just started moving in a direction, and God made it clear in the movement. God has uniquely wired each of us and is training us today to impact a group of people. And if we don't impact that group of people, if we don't reach those that we're called to reach, then they will suffer. Here's your last fill-in. My people group needs me. My people group needs me, needs us. So like Moses, we can be fully committed to helping our people by listening to our heart's cry, recognizing our unique shape, and accepting our assignment. Let's all stand.
Well, that's it for today's message. We hope we helped you know God more intimately. If you feel our ministry is helping you spiritually, feel free to find out more about us at lighthouseofinner.church. Thank you for being part of our family, and we will see you next time.